Well, good morning to you. It's a good day to be with you, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. When Dr. Traup called me and asked me if I would come and speak, and then if I minded treating the topic of the Great Commission, I said to him, are you asking me at the drop of a hat to change my day and come down here and speak to what I've given my life of pastoral ministry toward? And would I spend days at the seminary training others to do? Sure, I'm all in. So I'm glad to be here and thankful for this opportunity. I'm sorry for you that my friend Will Baker couldn't be here. He's much better looking and more dynamic, but I trust that God will use the likes of me anyway today as I speak about the Great Commission, or I would even say it's the greatest commission. And I hope as we listen to it, it's familiar. But I just pray that the greatness of this commission will overwhelm our hearts this morning. Listen as I read there on your bulletins, it's printed, the scriptures, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Hear the word of God. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Lord, please bless your word to us this morning. These 11 men had been shaken to the core of their being. One of their own had betrayed the Lord that they loved. They had seen him arrested, beaten, crucified, and buried. And their hopes had been dashed. And then, 3 days later, he stands before them alive, and they are confused. And he tells them at that point to go to this mountain that we've just read and to meet him there. And once again, he appeared to them. And the scriptures here say that some worshiped him, but others were trembling in doubt and confusion. They were trying to figure out, what is this all about? What's going on? I don't even think they knew who they were anymore. As we're here today at this time to worship the same Lord, I'm sure that this description of the 11 fits you. Some of you are here and you are worshiping in the Spirit. You see and hear Jesus clearly. Others of you are confused by him. And perhaps wondering what your place is in this world, what your identity is. Well, listen once again to the resurrected Lord speaking to you this morning. In effect, what he's saying here in this great commission, the greatest commission, is worship me, the one who has all authority, and then go to all the nations. In the name of all the persons of the Godhead, teaching them all that I have commanded you, knowing I will be with you all the time. Do you hear the universal, sweeping nature of those words? That's how I want to treat it with you this morning. Just hearing that word all resounding in our minds and our hearts. We are the ones who are this morning before him who has all the authority. All the authority. We could wonder why these disciples were still in a state of confusion. Think of what they had seen over the past 3 years. This is the one who demonstrated regularly to them that he did have power, that he did have authority. Before him, those who were sick were healed. The blind were given sight. The lame walked. Demons fled. Raging seas were stilled after he walked on them. He had all power, and he raised people from the dead, And now he is standing before them, resurrected from the dead. They could see him. This has been prayed already. They could touch him. Why would they doubt? I think the Bible helps us to understand why. It's because the cross was still fresh in their minds. They'd seen the cost that the Lord had paid. And they knew that the calling on their life was similar. And they were almost blinded to his glory because of the cost of following him. Their few numbers, the threats against not only him, but them, their weakness, their limitations. It's so easy in seeking to follow Christ to get our eyes off of him. And that's why he said, meet me at the mountain and look upon me and worship me because I have everything you need. By virtue of his death, of obedience, God raised him up. And after this event and some other appearances, he ascended into heaven and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father right now. And all the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him now. It's his now. He has everything you need to follow him. And he can give you life and salvation. If you don't believe in Jesus, believe. He can do what you need. And if you're struggling to follow him, believe and go where he's telling you to go. Because notice the other, next all the nations. When I say that, all the nations, do you hear the echo of those words? And I'm not talking about my voice carrying across the football field behind me. I'm talking about the fact that this phrase appears over and over again in the Bible. We first hear of it when God comes to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I've chosen you, and in through you, I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations, all the families of the earth. And to demonstrate that to him, he took him outside one night, and he told him to look up at all those stars. And he says, Abraham, as many as those stars are in the sky, so shall your descendants be. And that's when Abraham believed him. And God saved him through his faith. And these words are echoed down through the scriptures, promise after promise about what God will do among all the nations of the earth. We've already echoed, you've echoed those words this morning as you sang. Psalm 96, his glory to all nations show, we sang. Psalm 67, we ask God to bless us. Why? So that the whole world over may truly know your way, the way of the cross, and so that your salvation among the nations would be displayed. And even the shortest psalm in the Bible that we're going to end the service with, just two verses, even the shortest psalm cannot not say it. Praise him. Praise him, all you nations. Extol him. Extol him, all you peoples. That idea, that promise has been reverberating down through time, and it found its focal point in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Lord. In him is that way. In him is that salvation through his death, resurrection, and life that he gives. And now he tells his disciples, you are to take that promise and you're to take it to the nations of the earth so that every river and hill and tree echoes with the salvation of the Lord. Because the first word that the Lord spoke to Abraham, he's telling us here. You know what the first thing he told Abraham to do? He said, go. Go into the land I show you, and I will make you to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And that's what you're here at Geneva to do. To go to all the peoples, all the different groups, all the different tribes, all the different clans, wherever they may be found. You're to go to them. You're to go to those neighborhoods that are disadvantaged. You're to go to those people who are living in darkness. You are to go to those who are poor and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. You're to go to the blind. You're to go to them, to the lonely and the lost, and you're to go to them and echo the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring salvation to them. You might think, well, wait a minute, I'm here at Geneva to graduate and get a job. That's why I'm here. Maybe find a spouse, but that's why I'm here at Geneva. Well, that's what all the other colleges do. Graduate, find a job, maybe get a spouse. There's something more here. You're here to be trained, to take that training, to find that job and maybe that spouse, and to go and serve the Lord in His church, echoing this glorious message of the gospel as you do so to all the nations. And we need to realize that to help us with this, we have all the persons of the Godhead. Do you notice this? Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. One name, three persons. Greatest commission that the world has ever heard comes from our triune God, the Father whose plan it was, the Son who fulfilled that plan by coming to the earth and doing what we've talked about, and then as He's seated by the Father now to show His power, to show His authority, He has sent His Spirit into this world to empower us and to help us to fulfill the greatness of this commission. We see the triune God's work in evangelism and discipleship as displayed in the Scriptures for us. Paul, the great missionary, was at Corinth and he was having a rough time of it. And he was scared. It's okay to get scared. And he gets reminded of the Father's plan. The Lord comes to him, he says, don't be scared, Peter, or Paul. Don't be afraid. For in this city, I still have many of my people to hear you. And we know that those people of his are out there in this world. The very name of Jesus reminds us of that. He was named Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. His name is part of that promise. And then the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, we look at the book of Acts and we call it the Acts of the Apostles. I'm sure your teachers here at Geneva have said this to you. It's not just the Acts of the Apostles. It's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit mentioned over 50 times. And the power and the ability and the boldness that he gives to his people. The power to testify. The power to convert when we pray. All the persons are involved in this greatest of commissions. And then notice what we're to be about. We're to be about teaching all the commandments. All the commandments. All that I have commanded you, teach them to observe, Jesus said. You know, making disciples is no easy business. You've got to take that Bible and get it into them and teach them what it means. Ultimately, what a disciple is someone who follows Jesus Christ, who takes up their cross daily and follows Jesus. It means a people, seeing God create a people who are willing to sacrifice everything in order to follow him. That they come to this awareness that the Lord of heaven came to earth and he gave up his life for me. So, in purchasing me and saving me, it only makes sense that I now would give my life in service to him while I still have it here in the shortness of my time in this world. And we have a training manual called the Bible to help us to do discipleship. I love to tell my students, you know where the word disciple, where it comes from? It's mathetes. The word we get math from. I used to be a math teacher before I was a preacher. All right, we got some math students here. And when I taught at a local college, I would always have students who would say to me, "I hate math." And I would say, "No, you don't." And I say, "Yeah, I do. I hate math." I said, "No, you don't." And they would insist that they hated math. I said, "No, you hate discipline. That's what you hate. Because math takes discipline. It's hard work. And you have to follow me. You can't be creative in math like you can in English, Celia. You got to line it out line by line, step by step, and you got to follow the one who is leading you." And that's discipleship. Following Jesus. And it takes so many people to do disciple making. We need preachers. Those who are committed, they've committed their lives to teach the word of God and preach the word of God to others. But we need more than just preachers. We need Bible study leaders and Sunday school teachers and parents and others who will be in that full-time task, really, of getting the word of God into people's lives. There's so many people out here wandering. They don't have what you have here at Geneva. They don't know the things that you are being taught here at Geneva. You don't realize how rich you are, what a treasure you have being here. All that's being imparted into your life, the Lord who's put you here, the Lord who has given these things to you, is expecting you to go out and teach others all of his commandments. Remembering this as we conclude, that he'll be with you all the time. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This world out there is growing more hostile to this work, to this greatest of all commissions. They want to quiet and silence the church. And it's going to take a real sense that God is with me and that God is with you to fulfill the greatness of this commission. In my ministry, every time I have gone out to knock on a door to share Christ with someone else, or even when I have appointments with some people maybe I know, I get scared. And I pray for this. Lord, be with me. Every time I come to a pulpit, I can get scared. And I pray this prayer. Lord, you said you would be with me. Be with me. Stand at my right hand, please. And I have found every time that I knock on the door, as soon as my knuckles rap on the wood or my finger presses the bell, or when I come behind a pulpit, that the promise is true, that he's with me. That's all I need. That's all I need, is him being with me. You don't need good looks. You don't need hair. You don't need those kinds of things to preach the gospel. You just need Jesus being with you. So I ask you today, where is Christ commissioning you to make his authority others' reality? Where is he telling you to go? This is a time of asking him that. Lord, where are you sending me? To whom, O God, are you sending me? Where, O Lord, can I go under your authority and see you use my life in the greatest commission that there is, that of making disciples in this world to the nations of the earth? Friends, he may take you across the street or across an ocean, but I want you just to remember that this is not a suggestion this morning that I'm giving to you. This is a commission, a commandment from your Lord, who says to you today, worship me. Worship me. The one who has all authority. And then go to all the nations in the name of all the persons of the Godhead, teaching them all that I have taught you, knowing I will be with you to the end of the days. Let us pray. Father, I ask this morning that you would be with us, and that your people here this morning would be hearing from your Spirit in their hearts this commandment, and that they couldn't escape it, Father. We can't hide from this. This is what you call us to do. And then every one of these young people, as they take their classes, as they make their plans, as they graduate, as they go forth, would go with the intentionality that this greatest of all commissions gives. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Through Christ we ask. Amen.